Here's an unusual and obscure record Ben was on. It was made by vocalist Bob Howard. He was a pianist and successful vocalist in the New York area. Now, Bob Howard's little known today, but he made several dozen records in the 30s, and at one time, Howard was the only African-American hosting his own radio series, and in the 50s had his own television series. On the 1935 The Ghost of Dinah, Howard is undoubtedly riffing on Louis Armstrong's version of Dinah.
Couldn't learn to play with ping pong long. Oh boy, did stay with oolong. And she was sick of rice and tea. Oh, that's ghost of Dinah. Didn't look so fine. Had to give away her silk kimono. All the sunny south with shorties on her. And now she's like she used to be. Oh, that day way from Thieves of Wine, the place she loves the most. Could stay away from fields of wine, dynamite, but not her ghost. Hear them boast of Dinah, down in Carolina. See her freaking cotton around that shanty, even though her eyes are slanty. Oh boy, that's the ghost of Dinah.
Here's two of Ben with Sid Catlett's quartet from 1944. By this time, 1944, Webster was fully mature as an artist. You can hear that he's absorbed so much. Hodges' melodiousness and lyricism, Coleman Hawkins' big, lovely tone, and Lester Young's harmonic daring and modernism. And of course, you can hear Ben Webster's gorgeous, to die for tone on Sleep in spades. Sleep is the name of the first tune, and Just a Riff follows. This is a composition by Catlett, such as it is. There's some first-rate piano accompaniment here by Marlo Morris, John Simmons on bass from 1944. Big Sid sounds pretty good on these. Thank you. Well, that's a lovely tune. I don't understand why it's entitled Sleep, but I do understand the music and that big, lovely tone. Ben Webster, much admired Coleman Hawkins' lovely tone, and he achieved it quite well. Those were 1944 recordings of Ben Webster with the Big Sid Catlett Quartet, Big Sid on the drums. Well, much has been said about Ben Webster's personality. I think that personality analysis of musical genius is relatively fruitless. The real evidence is in the music. Nonetheless, it should be said about Webster that he began his career in the rough and scuffle of Kansas City street life and the manner of a tough, loud-talking, hard-drinking street guy. Never really left him. He was a big man, a very tender one inside. And for instance, he cared for his mother for many years until her death. Ben Webster was a talented, inspired, dedicated, hard-working musician with a great gift and the skill to use it in ways that amazed even Duke Ellington. As the territory to defend in the Sax Wars became 52nd Street in the mid-40s, Ben was there, defending his rep, pushing in new directions, evolving, keeping the warrior's edge sharp. And then, by the mid-50s, all the great surviving Sax veterans found themselves left behind by rhythm and blues, rock and roll music, knights of a round table that no one defended nor paid tribute to. It seems that a sense of melancholy enveloped some of the surviving Sax giants, who refused to lower themselves to the tastes of the day. Several, including Ben Webster, gradually migrated to Europe, where their Baroque art was still appreciated, where they were considered artistes, and where they could, for Christ's sake, make a decent living with their magnificent horns. That and the many studio sessions for Verve, jam sessions, festival gigs, and the like sustained Ben Webster and the other tenor masters through the 50s and 60s. Also, remember, as we listen to these post-1944 recordings, it's very apparent that with Webster, he fully came into his own, especially as a ballad player of unequaled skill and richness after the year 1944. Gradually, the older influences, the lilting rhythms, the brilliant Ellington alum, the stomper, the shouter, all gave way to a profound, distinct, personal voice, all his own, a deep, rich voice of wisdom and taste that was finally the genuine Ben Webster. An example of that is Tea for Two, a quintet with Hot Lips Page in mid-1944 that'll start this set. Looks like we'll have time for Blue Skies, the Ben Webster Quartet recording for Savoy in April 1944, Johnny Guarneri piano, Oscar Pettiford bass, and certainly we need to squeeze in Coleman Hawkins' gorgeous duet on Rosita, Coleman Hawkins and Ben Webster in 1957. Thank you. That is just so gorgeous. Rosita, Ben Webster in duet with Coleman Hawkins in 1957, and clearly by that time, a lot of the heat and competitiveness of the saxophone wars had faded. We also heard Blue Skies, the Ben Webster Quartet of 1944 with Johnny Guarneri piano, Oscar Pettiford bass, and Cozy Cole drums, and we started with Hot Lips Page included on a little quintet, Tea for Two. In later years, Webster made a lot of appearances and recordings as a star soloist, frequently accompanying singers like Ella Fitzgerald, Carmen McRae, and Billie Holiday. In 1964, he moved to Holland, where he remained for the rest of his life, appearing at clubs, festivals, and recording dates all over Europe. With fellow sax giants like Lester Young, Benny Carter, Johnny Hodges, and Chu Berry, Ben Webster helped to shape the modern jazz saxophone, which by the 40s had become the central focus of instrumental jazz. These saxophone giants broke new paths in jazz improvisation, harmony, rhythm and melody, and pioneered the way for modern jazz saxists like Charlie Parker, Stan Getz, Sonny Rollins, Jerry Mulligan, and others. Their sounds,
Their contributions became part of the basic elements of the international language known as jazz. This tribute to jazz sax giant Ben Webster ends with another small group recording from 1944, an extraordinary three-reed front line consisting of sax giants George Auld, Coleman Hawkins, and Ben Webster. I'm Dave Radlauer. That's Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. Thanks for listening.